Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Reyes.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, real solutions. Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Reyes. Thank you guys for joining us. We're so excited to have you back again for another week of a great episode. And great subscribers and watchers and family. And what do we call
all
them?
The real ones. All the real ones. You know, there's a remnant. Sometimes, you know, there's plastic fruit, fake fruit out there. And but there's people out there who are passionately and in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we can't forget that, right? We're constantly talking about what the church isn't doing, what isn't doing. But what about what the church is doing and the people that are doing? Mm-hmm. And man, God be glorified in that, right? And there are some incredible churches, and some are just in process, right? So we can't just look at a leg that's kind of beat up and then just be like, the whole body is jacked up, you know, because the reality is that even in that, God gets the glory, right, when it gets healed or whatever. So I believe we gotta start lifting up the bride, right, if we want the bride to operate in its calling and what's supposed to be doing. But you know what? The Prison Break book is still going, so that's pretty awesome. I get to be at Barnes and Noble.
Come on.
On August 20th. Yeah, I mean, for me, for a dude that like...
You for know, most people, Christmas. That's big. That's a
yeah, huge, yeah, but for me, like it's surreal. Yeah. Like, you know, I should have been dead a trillion times, and yet God, you know, it's never too late. You know, I'm 53, and all of this is happening, right? Yeah. So started at 36, so I always tell people, it's never too late. Like, don't give up. Just because you're getting older, because, you know, because God can still do whatever he wants. Like, he redeems the time, and it's like, bam. Mm-hmm. But today's guest, let me tell you what's funny. So right before, you know, we started the show, I did a FaceTime for my wife because she just loves this artist, right? As a person, his music, I remember she was just playing it over and over and over and over. Yeah. And I love.
Like, most people are like, man, that's my jam. You know, I'm going to listen to that maybe for, you know, a couple times, repeat, you know, maybe a couple of days. But Truthy, this song, definitely longer than a couple of days.
It shows the power of music, how it just culturally, you know, just goes across every barrier, right? There's some power in our words, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. But those words, when you put a little music to it, oh, forget about it. It has the power to, it has the power to transform. Yeah. And with us today, we got none other. Come on. This guy, I didn't know you were from Trinidad Tobago. You know, that's what makes it, you know, the islanders, you know, makes it super dope. Kieran Sims, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Dude. Man, I don't even know how to start this because there's so much to say to you. I want to hear everything, right?
I'm like,
so right now, so I'm going to jump into it, right? Okay. Because it talks that you're leading worship in us. And you grew up in a Spanish-speaking church. Wow. Yep. It blends, you blend pop, worship, CCM, and gospel.
Yeah.
And you always like to tell stories of God's selfless, life-giving love that changes everything.
Yeah.
So you might see, people see you on videos. Now you're like touring. I mean, just doing all this stuff. You're married for 3 years, right?
Yes, sir.
But I guess what I want to get to, because sometimes everybody sees that and they're like, this guy goes through nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're like, wow, look at it. Man,
he's got it all.
He's fly, he's dressed. You know, we found out you married to Kimmy Sims.
Yes, right.
Yes, yep, and she's a local fashion designer, so she keeps you fly.
She keeps me fly.
Uh-huh. But one thing she can't keep you, have this unspeakable joy. Right? Yeah. And so they think, this dude, he doesn't have a problem in the world. The first thing I want to talk about, before I talk about this other thing, that I'm like, man, how do you keep the joy? But I want to talk about, because you have a song that you wrote, I believe. What's the name of the song where it's actually speaking, because your dad came. So tell us a little bit about that story and the name of the song.
Absolutely. So the song is called Chances. And so growing up, my dad battled addiction and was absent my entire life.
Yeah.
And I remember kind of going through school.
Yeah.
And playing basketball and football. And him not being there.
Mm.
And but like, he was an incredible athlete. But I played football, and I couldn't throw football because He wasn't around, you know.
He wasn't around.
And I remember just kind of growing up with resentment, just kind of having this thing in my heart where I was like, man, like, you chose that over us, my sister and I.
Yeah.
And for a long time, that was my
your
belief.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dealt with rejection and abandonment.
I never would have figured that.
Yeah.
When I heard you talk about that, I was like, I never knew that.
Yeah. That was a big, big part of my life. And I didn't even know how to talk about it. Because I never wanted to, like, dishonor him either.
Yeah.
Because one thing about mom, she never said anything bad about him. Like, she'd never
allowed
us to see his shortcomings. She always celebrated him, always honored him. And I always want to do that, you know, with my life. And he's a phenomenal guy. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. Phenomenal guy.
And where is he at now?
Right now, he's in Houston. He's in Houston.
Oh.
And, you know, and he battled addiction. And I remember at 18 years old, I was in an apartment with some friends of mine. And we were just worshiping. It was around a time right out of high school. And I was not finding God for the first time, but like falling in love with him.
Oh, no, I get it. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember like in that moment, feeling like he spoke to my heart and just said, like, forgive your dad. And I'm like, what does that have to do with this moment right now? Like, nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But him saying, like, I was the one at your basketball games. I was at your football games.
Wow.
I've been singing over you your entire life. And an invitation into like my healing process and how I started praying for him. And like, I just kind of dedicated a lot of time just saying, God, will you heal my family? Will you save my family? Will you save my dad?
Wow.
Will you be there for him? And just kind of years of that, I didn't talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
And a few years ago in Nashville, hanging out with Evan, and we're writing a song that you'll never hear because it was garbage. And
we're like, tell us about it. You're like,
it was
terrible. No.
It was terrible. And I remember Evan just kind of said, hey, what's your relationship like with your dad? Randomly. And I remember just like that moment kind of feeling like God was like, yeah, it's time to like really talk about this. Mm-hmm. It's I want to really heal that.
Wow.
And man, it's emotional right now.
It's okay.
That moment, I remember just kind of getting to a point where I realized that God forgives us for so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, we harbor unforgiveness at times. We won't forgive those around us that we love, mm-hmm. and that we say that we love, but we hold these things and we keep them out, mm-hmm. to protect ourselves.
Right.
When in actuality, you're prolonging your healing and you're prolonging what God can do in that relationship.
Yeah.
And I remember just the idea of that God will never give up on you. And if God can give me a second chance, he can do it for my dad. Yeah. He can do it for those around me. And just that story of forgiveness and healing kind of just began even the more. And the song kind of came from that place.
Man, and that's the beauty. You know, it's funny that you go, and I'm never going to talk about this other song, that because from out the outside looking in, it's funny that I didn't see that part in you, right? Because almost everything you touch or you sing or you write is like, boom. Oh, man, you heard that? Boom. Oh, you know, my wife's like, wow, all the songs, right? So even that song, she would probably be like, oh, let me hear it. Yeah. So it's interesting. That's what makes, I believe, your song so impactful.
Wow.
That it's not like, hey, I just wrote this song because, you know, I'm good at writing from my head.
Yeah.
The birthplace of that is a place of like, mm-hmm. a posture of worship, right? You're totally bowed, listening to God while getting maybe some conviction and also healing.
Yeah.
And then you sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why so many are impacted probably because I see you also do some like pop-up things, right? Yeah. Where you kind of sing and all that and you invite everybody out. And yes, what are those nights like?
They're amazing.
You sing that song.
Yes, those are phenomenal. I'm able to tell the story and someone in the crowd is dealing with that in some way.
Yeah.
And it's like, those moments are just like for healing. And they're fun, but also like it's like those deep moments. And I feel like they don't have to be weird. They're just an invitation to heal and to leave it at his feet.
Because
I think God's he's not intimidated by our shortcomings. He's not intimidated by the things that even in our hearts. Mm-hmm. He just wants to help us. And so those nights are like filled with that. Like, you know, what we're doing, and I know we're talking more about this, the record is called Anything Can Happen.
Yeah.
And that's really what I want these nights to be, where we believe that anything can happen.
Yeah.
You walked in with sick, if you walked in with a broken heart, if you walked in dealing with financial issues, that we believe that if God's in the room, anything can happen. So he can heal you. He can change you. He can make things better. And he always does.
No, yeah, he totally. Makes better. Totally. And you know, so I was saying you have this unspeakable joy and all that. And usually I wait, you know, for maybe a little later in the thing. Yeah. But I have to do this, right? Because I want to talk about the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think that's all of it's important. Your story is just phenomenal. The more because I only knew a little part,
yeah.
And then it kept, you know, I saw the song, and that impacted me because I was, I was into drugs and all that, and so my parents, right? And then I became the parent, and then my son kind of went through it. So I'm calling my mom, going, "Man, my bad," you know, like I did an error because all the stuff my kids were making me feel, even though I had a heart to understand a little bit more, it was still difficult.
Sure.
So, you know, we do this thing called Dear Younger Me, okay? Yeah. Every so often, you know, and we'll probably do this like 2 or 3 times with you in the show, but okay. I want to do it right now. So explain to him a little bit.
So Dear Younger Me, you know, Back to the Future, hop in the DeLorean.
Yeah.
If you could take us back to a younger you, what age would you go to and what piece of advice would you give the younger version of self?
And I want you to think about two things, because even though this is what I want to tweak this right now. Now, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to be that son, and your father's in addiction, and I want you to talk to you then, because I believe somebody's listening that might need to hear that.
Wow, that's amazing. I would say what you're experiencing right now, what you're facing right now, is it always going to be like this? And that, don't give up on your dad. Don't give up on what God can do. Continue going hard after the Lord.
Yeah.
Continue reading scripture and spending time in the presence of God. You'll be glad you did, because you're going to gain perspective that only God can give.
Yeah.
He's the author, and he can fill stories up with these amazing treasures that are hidden for us, not from us.
Yeah.
Throughout the journey. So I would say, like, don't give up. And, like, so, you know, dumb. I remember, you know, going to see my dad at some of these facilities, and, you know, feeling hopeless because he wasn't with us. Mm-hmm. And on a car rides home, I remember being with my grandpa. We'd get that grandma cookies. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, little, they slap. But I remember kind of like, that was what made me feel better in those moments, seeing him, you know, be corrected for what he was dealing with. But I would say, don't give up. Don't give up on him, because that man's going to be sober one day. That man's going to be a better man one day.
Awesome.
So good.
Second part of this, okay? So there's a lot of people across the nation. We're on this thing called the Pando app, and we're in prisons all around the United States. So I think we're like up to, I think I looked at it the other way, it's like 3 million something views. So you got all the attention of all these men who are probably incarcerated because of drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
As a son, what would you say to your dad in a time where he was struggling, maybe going through addiction? What would you say to him? Because I believe there's a lot of guys who are incarcerated who are still struggling and just waiting to get out, even though they're saying, "Oh, I'm not going to do that." But maybe they haven't changed their lives. So they haven't allowed Jesus to grab their heart. So that when they get out, they're going to get high again.
Yeah.
What would you say as a son? Because I know they have sons and daughters.
Yeah.
To that guy. What would you say to your dad in the middle of his addiction?
Yeah. Whew. I would say, don't be afraid to confront your past. And don't allow your struggles to define you. You're not your struggle.
Yeah.
You're a good man. You're a good woman. And if you allow God to really take a hold of your heart and even walk through your past with you, I think there's an incredible future ahead of you. If you're willing to give yourself over to the process and to the journey, don't be fearful of the unknown. Because what if you get healed? What if the addiction breaks? You know, what if God can restore your family? He's done it for me. And I'm someone that right out of college, I worked at a faith-based rehab center.
Wow.
And I taught GED at it, and it made no sense. It made no sense at all. But it was
process
like,
this is funny.
It's so funny. And I led worship at it and taught GED. And I remember being in the room. I was 22, 23 years old in a room full of men and women that came from broken homes because of what they had walked through. And I remember realizing that, man, some of these people were like 17 years old when they got addicted. Like my dad was 17 when he got addicted. One decision. And I think they've allowed that decision to define them.
Right.
When you can make a decision today that will kind of change the narrative. It'll change the story if you allow God into it. So yeah, one decision away from a better life.
That's dope. That's dope.
That's good.
I appreciate, because that's wisdom. You're not just speaking because you read it in a book. You're actually, if people would get to really give an ear to what the Spirit is saying right now, they could see transformation. Because the reality is you're not speaking as a hearsay person. You're actually a witness of that. And you're also a witness for Jesus, right? So you've been in both sides of the pendulum, probably upset, angry,
all the things,
hurt, you know, all of the above. And now you're like unspeakable joy.
Yeah.
You know,
joy. Come on.
Yeah. Which is super dope. So, okay. This is really what I want to talk about, because here it says several years ago you were diagnosed with
ulcerative colitis.
Okay, explain that.
Yeah. So it's an autoimmune disorder. Basically it's your immune system is freaking out and it creates ulcers in your intestines.
Yeah.
And allows you not to get nutrients that you're supposed to get from your food.
Wow.
I dealt with things from getting like polyps in my legs where I couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. I blood transfusions. I mean, countless months in the hospital for the past 7 years. It's been a journey of just trying to find a medication that can help ease symptoms there's no cure.
Right.
So like kind of dealing with the process of it's been a journey.
Getting you here.
Yeah.
I mean, because I really want people to lend an ear to this, right? Because sometimes we listen to stuff and we're like, oh, yeah, no. Getting you here, it was like one moment. All right, see you in the morning. Yeah. Then, hey, I'm in the hospital. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the level of kind of what you're going through.
Yeah.
And yet you still show up with a big smile.
Wow.
You still have this faith. That, like, even touches my heart, right? Because sometimes, I mean, we're just complainers, right? And we allow what we go through, even smaller obstacles, right? Because you just imagine one morning you're like, hey, I'm going to see you tomorrow. And then you're in the hospital. And then you're like, hey, my bad. And then you're not. So I can imagine how you, because I want to hear how you maneuver through all that. But that's just difficult because we let, like, oh, it's too hot outside stop us. Or it's too hot in the church or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And yet you're like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be in the hospital tomorrow, but you know, I'm going to believe that I'm there, right? So how do you do that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you live? Yeah. How do you live?
How do you live? This is a good question. Such a real, that's such a real question. I'm going to take you back to even when I said about that moment when God invited me to forgive my dad.
Yeah.
I remember feeling God's presence so strong in my heart. And, I like believe that he'll never leave me. Like I, in that moment, like I really believed that God was going to be with me through the hardest moments, through the most amazing moments. And he has been, and I think that is what's helped me because man, there are moments where you're 2020, I was in hospital 6 times and every time was about a little over a week and no one can come see me. But I remember never feeling alone. I remember never feeling like God just like forsook me, you know, forsook.
Yeah. And we get it.
Shaketh thou with me.
And, but like for real, this peace that I didn't give myself, that my situation sure didn't give me. Like there's, we could choose to allow life to steal joy from us and peace from us, or we can like allow yourself to lean into joy, which is like the joy of the Lord is our strength,
yeah.
which is strength, and our weakness is strength is made perfect. I can allow, like, he's a Prince of Peace. So like, just, I think what's allowed me is just like to really believe that he is who he is.
Yeah.
And he will always do what he says he'll do. That gives me hope, because for a long time, you know, going back to my dad,
yeah,
it was hard for me to receive God's love. It was, it was hard for me to like understand, like, where's a father? Where's a faithful father?
Yeah.
Like?
Yeah.
And that was hard for me for a long time. Yeah. And I still struggle with it every now and then. Like, yeah, it's the journey, totally. You know? Right. But it's like, I choose with all my heart, as much as I can, to believe he's with me at all times.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's, it's helped me a lot. You know, yesterday, I had chemo yesterday, which is like, it helps put you in remission. The disease is like without radiation. But I remember just sitting in a room and realizing that not everyone in this room has faith. Not everyone in this room has the joy that I get to experience of just knowing him. And not everyone's gotten to encounter him like I've gotten to.
That's awesome.
And it's helped me, because I have it's allowed me to have compassion for those that are dealing with chronic illnesses, those that are dealing with, like, you know, just a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
You go through life and you're like, you start to realize it ain't just about you. Like, God wants to use your story. And because it's about others in the room that didn't get to experience what you got to experience. And it goes back to a conversation we had earlier about, like, if just because you're angry with the Lord in this moment, just because you're wrestling or you're battling in your faith in this moment, doesn't mean that you have to give up on God.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't mean that God isn't who he says he is. It's just in this moment, you're wrestling. You're working this thing out. So every day is a constant decision. To give myself over to the process.
Say that part again. Every day what?
Every day is a conscious decision to give myself over to the process.
That's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, right? It's not like you make this decision and then it just lasts forever,
no.
Right? Because it probably goes, you know, your belief and your foundation is what you're standing on, some of these absolute truths.
Yes.
And that when it's an absolute truth, it shouldn't change.
That's right. That's right.
Right? But then there's probably moments where I want to die.
Yeah.
Because we had John 100%. Here from that same squad, right? And he's like, I mean, he was just vulnerable. Where he was like, I just sometimes want to be like, why? Why would you do that to me? I give so much to you. How do you, what do you do at that moment?
Yeah. I think allow yourself to feel that. I don't think God's intimidated by that. You know? And I think that's kind of what I've
that's
learned.
That's really good.
I'm like, bro, I had moments. You're like, frick, like, this sucks.
That's good. That's good.
And it's like, God, I think he meets us there, though, you know? And like,
I've
learned so much about his friendship that he wants to sit with you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he don't just take everything away. He will. But I think in those moments, he wants you to just know I'm near. I'm with you. I'm close to the brokenhearted, you know?
Yes.
We want to thank all of our partners who support us. Because of you, This Is Real has a tremendous reach from Houston to Galveston and up to the Austin area.
This show reaches over 100 prisons nationwide with over 500,000 inmates tuning in weekly to hear the good news through our radio show and the Pando app.
To partner with us, visit JuanMartinez.tv or download the free Get Wrapped TV.
Is that why you wrote Joy? Because I think as a heavy hitter, I'm going to show your video. I think at the end of the whole thing, I'm going to show a couple of your videos and so that everybody can kind of put the songs to the to the story. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is real.
Yeah.
I love how you're so real and authentic, you know. I mean, now, you know, hearing your story, I understand Joy. That's why you wrote it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the hardest moment, one of the hardest scenes of my life. I didn't feel joy when I wrote that song. And yeah, man, it was one of those moments where, you know, you had to command your soul to praise the Lord at times, you know? And not everything's gonna, like, joy isn't happiness. And that's something I've learned, that it's something that God can give you. And it's something that sustains you. You know, and so I can have joy on the mountain. I can have joy in the valley. And I think that joy is just like being aware of God's nearness and his faithfulness in every season.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invitation to seeing God consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what that song kind of came from. Like, today is the day of the Lord that the Lord has made. I rejoice. because I know your faith. I'll rejoice because I'm, and be glad in it. And it's one of those things where it reminds me of like even moments where, you know, starting off in church, I remember before the whole service would start, someone would get up and say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice." Yeah, be glad in it. And I remember like hearing people say that, older people, and not really understanding that they were trying to get people to see God rightly in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what scripture does. And that's what proximity does. And that's where that song kind of came from. Just, hey, like, today might not go your way, but will you be okay knowing that God's in it with you? At least he's with you. That changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the heartbeat behind that song.
Yeah, no, everything I'm gathering, you know, as I'm sitting here, because I'm reading, like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play Joy, I'm going to play Chances, and then I think there's another one, You're All I'm After.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, I mean, totally, after you hear everything, you go, yeah, this is why he's singing this. This isn't just a song. No. This is a song that, you know, it says, I think it's Psalms where he gave you a new song.
Yeah.
And so there's a old song, you know, there's probably a song you sing that sounds depressing and wants to, you know, you don't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
But then he gives you a new song within that moment is kind of what I'm hearing and gathering, 100%. Right? And like, that's what makes you a light.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, in the world, right? Because you're not just, man, I'm just super happy like this because, you know, I got married and my wife's fine. and, you know, I just fly and I'm singing in places. You're actually a walking testament of like, hey, I am suffering with him.
Yeah.
Literally in order for him to get glory, right? And because, you know, a lot of times, how do you deal with, you know, And I feel like I know the answer just on stuff that you said, but I want to ask this question because a lot of times people are like, you know, they get down because, you know, they might go to a church and they're like, you're going to be healed today. You've heard that? And then, boom, you go and you're like, this is it. And then, boom, you're in the hospital, right? So like, you get what I'm saying? I've heard guys where they've traveled the globe. And I think it was Chris Gore or something. Watched him a long time ago and he traveled everywhere. And all these people are getting healed. All these people are getting healed. You know, he had like a older child, you know, and when people were getting healed and he jumped on the plane, he's like, I got to get home because he felt like he had the magic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying magic because some of y'all might be like, oh, he's talking about magic. Sure. But, you know, the healing hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he gets home and he would have to bathe his 20-year-old. Yeah. So he'd get home and he would lay hands and then nothing would happen.
Yeah.
Yet he saw blind eyes open, mm-hmm. right? You say you go to your thing and you're believing that anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, somebody comes and they're like, Karen, you know, I got healed, right? Yep. And this other person, man, this. And then you're like, praise the Lord, right? And then the enemy goes, hey, when you're in the hospital or something or you're going through the chemo, and he's like,
yeah,
what about you?
Yeah.
How do you go with that?
That's such a beautiful question, man. Can I give an example?
I'm hearing you. I got like 18 sermons.
I was, so 3 days before I was diagnosed, one of my good friends, his mom called me and she's someone that hears from God.
Yeah.
And she's in heaven now.
Explain that. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that go, I hear from God. So explain that.
She's someone that, you don't got to tell her what you're going through. For like the Lord will give her like little snippets of what you're dealing with. I told no one I was sick. I was an athlete. I played basketball and football. I was telling you guys. And
I mean, you look great.
Thank you, bro. But I was 40 pounds heavier. And I was probably 50 pounds heavier at the time. And got sick. And I thought it was a stomach virus. Lost 40 pounds in a month. And told no one. I thought it was a stomach virus. I was like, I'm just trying to figure it out. My mom went to the doctors with me three different misdiagnoses, whatever. Well, she calls me randomly 3 days before my diagnosis. I had gotten an endoscopy and Nicole.
Yeah, we're going to need her number.
Yes. Go
ahead. We're like, hey.
Right? She calls me and she goes, hey, the Lord says, you're not going to have this forever. And he's going to heal you. And I'm just like, in this moment, I'm like, amen, you know, blah, 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 right? In this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And Friday happens. I get the news that it's a chronic illness. There's no cure for it. And I remember having a moment that God was preparing me for this moment. And like God saw it before it happened. It didn't catch him by surprise. Yeah. So that Friday when I got the news, I could either believe what the doctor said or the report of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
That Saturday, I got asked to go do, I was asked a month ago to do a church anniversary in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to say no because of what I was dealing with, but I gave my yes and I was trying to just push through. Oof. Went to Dallas. It was a church anniversary service that turned into a healing service.
Come on.
And so I remember people getting healed and I was like, oh, this is my day. God said I'm gonna have it forever.
Yeah.
And did not get healed that day. Matter of fact, I didn't even have insurance. Things got worse. Things got worse. I had no medication. So it was like, but that day I wrote a song called Every Promise. And that song, it just says like, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe every promise. I believe you've come to heal my heart. And I believe it's already done. Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm trying to say is, just because it doesn't happen the way you want it to or physically doesn't mean that he's not healing something.
Yeah.
And for me, it was my heart where I had been walking through all these years, you know, like even with dad and everything that I walked through, I felt like God was unraveling things. And like, I tell people all the time, like if God doesn't heal my body on this side of heaven, he's already healed my heart. Mm-hmm. And that is a miracle in itself.
All day long, all day long.
I felt for a long time like damaged goods. I felt broken. I felt like I was never going to be able to get through certain things. And the Lord was like, no, I actually got you. And like, you're with me. So I think that like helped me navigate those moments of, hey, you're still dealing with what you're dealing with. Hey, everyone's laying hands on you at every event you go to.
Yeah. We were thinking of doing that before you left.
I'm so
like, hey, everybody's like,
I'm so down. But it's like, I have faith that God will do it. I do. And I think that's what keeps me going as well, because I'm like, if God does, when God does it,
sure,
it's gonna be amazing, but I'm not gonna throw a temper tantrum until I get what I want. Mm-hmm. I wanna be found faithful. And I think that's changed perspective a lot, because I'm not gonna live a certain way until I get what I want from God. I think he's become all I'm after. He's become the prize. And the byproduct, if that's healing on this side of heaven, praise God.
Yeah.
If it's not, praise God. I got the healer, and that changed everything for me.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. I got like 4 sermons that I wrote. I just think it's because, you know, that's Christianity, right? And, you know, I always tell this little story where when I was incarcerated, perspective, you know, all I hear is perspective. I'm going to choose God's report rather than the report of the, you know, the other 10 spies.
You know,
it's the same thing going across. But I used to sing in the morning, you know, I had this joy. But my perspective, because I was doing so much school while I was in prison, that I would think to myself, I would be singing and it'd be early in the morning and they'd be like, man, New York, tone it down, you know, like. Like, you're way too happy, bro. You're way too happy. They would say, we locked up. And I would tell them, like, you locked up. I said, I'm in college. I'm about to graduate. You know, it's coming soon. And I just had this thought. I'd be whistling down the hallway, you know. I'd, you know, all of these things in a moment, you know, where, you know, 25 years, it could be all this stuff. But somewhere in here, I just kind of had that perspective that, you know, most of the time, like, man, I'm locked up. I can't believe it, right? Or, man, I'm going through this. I can't believe it, right? But the reality is that we don't know what kind of life and, you know, why the twists and turns. Yeah. Like, I wish we had all the answers to that on this side of heaven. But one thing we do know is him. And if he's going to shine bright, it has to be in those times, right? Because Rico could pick up a couple people right now that are homeless and stuff and, like, take them to eat, go to the mall. And they're going to be happy, right? The question is when we drop them off again, right? Are they going to be like that excited that, oh, you know, I spoke to some man, came and spoke to me about God.
Yeah.
And I think we do that in Christianity. It's almost like in difficult times and trials and tribulation, like you've seen it, right? COVID, everybody was running for toilet paper.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, I know it sounds funny and crazy, but there were a remnant of people that were still being the light despite of what was going on. Yeah. And then everybody else was just running in fear. And it really showed the temperature of the body.
Yeah.
Or even are they part of the body? Because sometimes just because you go in the building, don't make you part of the body.
That's real.
So then we point out, oh, that's part of the body. It's like, nah, they're churchianity rather than Christianity. Yeah. You know? So I love the fact that, you know, you wrote all these songs they were birthed out of trials, tribulations, and God's getting every single bit of that glory, and He's using you. What is He doing right now? What are you doing? You know, because maybe somebody doesn't know. They're like, okay, they haven't saw the videos yet.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things you're doing? Because I see new music and announcements. Explain, please.
Yes. So we're about to release my first record in 5 years on the 30th of August.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. I'm excited about that.
Who do you have on there?
So Leland is on there. Myra Alvarez is on there. And Evan Kraft is on this record.
Okay.
Then we're about to record it in Spanish in the fall, which I'm really excited about.
Look at April in the row. She pulls out her little flag.
Come on. So I'm excited to be able to do this stuff in English.
And you're going to be singing it?
I'm going to be singing
in Spanish?
Yes, sir. So I'm excited about that.
Super dope. That is a gift. You know, that's super dope. And Evan Kraft, it says right here, you're on radio, that song.
Yeah.
Which is what song is
Chances.
That?
Chances.
Chances
on
it's
radio now.
All over
the
radio, all over the US. Right?
Yes, sir.
In less than a week, 100,000 streams.
Yeah.
You had a new single that came out with Leland July 19th.
Yeah.
The new album released August 30th.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you're gonna be on a tour?
Me on a tour.
Dude,
we'll launch those dates soon, and I'm excited. I am like,
elite. Do you know the first spot? Can you leak the first spot?
Yes.
Okay.
The first spot's gonna be in Delaware.
Delaware? Why Delaware? Do you end in Houston? There's, like, what happened?
So we'll end in Houston.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because right now we're about to. Hey. That's super dope.
Yes. So we'll end it here in Houston, and have to end it here.
And some would have said, let's say. Those are some big feats, like when you're going in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably times where you're not feeling maybe 100%
sure.
In your body,
yeah.
The outward man.
Yeah.
But in your spirit, man, you got to keep that thing.
Yeah.
As you, I heard you say earlier, you know, pushing through.
Yeah.
So you got to know when to push through.
That's right.
And when not.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And it's just incredible. It's incredible to see you accomplishing all these things with what most would not.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? Because some people don't, I can't go, I got a headache, you know? You know, it's like, oh, okay. you're like, I just got out of the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, I just recorded, I had to go at 3 a.m.
because
I couldn't go at, you know, probably, right?
Right.
All these different, I feel great now, so I got to go.
Yes.
100%. So you're still moving in light speed. You're still moving by the grace of God in phenomenal ways.
I think it's one of the, most beautiful things that I hear is just the fact that all of this, you know, even, you know, 18 with your dad and just the fact that you're a singer-songwriter, I feel like is super amazing because it's almost as if the ministry is an anthem. So not only for those that are listening, because that's what we were talking about, like with Ms. Ruthie playing it over and over, people that you hear, but then I feel that I'm sure that that happens as well with you as you have to go and sing and minister and re-record or, you know, visit churches and things like that. And so it's like, you know, most people, you know, who don't have a platform per se, right? You know, they may be going through this and they may identify, they may, you know, share with a pastor, a friend, or write it in their journal. And then that's where it stays, you know? Yeah. And so just the fact that all of these milestones and victories and valleys and everything that you're saying are something that is almost like eternal, you know, because it's gonna live on and on and on and on. So for the people that are listening, but then also for you who is, you know, now singing and expressing it. So I just think it's obviously it's not cool that that's, you know, what you have to do.
I don't want to make it sound
cool that it, you know, God chose you because he knew that the impact you would have, you know, because of who you were going to reach, you know? So that's just something that.
That's super dope. You know, I feel like Wakanda forever. I feel like the black, you know, how this, well, his story, you know, how his story just keeps going.
Yeah.
Well, the actor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he had this, he was going through all the stuff and people were saying stuff,
100,
you know, he lost the weight. Yeah. Right. And everybody was talking stuff that they didn't really know. And then it's like, oh my God, we didn't know, you know? And that just shows how quick we are to judge something.
Yeah.
But the cool part is that his story just keeps going.
That's right.
Right?
That's just right.
Keeps going. And so you're a testament to so many, not just from the side of what you're dealing with, because I feel like we put things in boxes so that we can understand, like, the medical part. And, you know, I feel like you just keep, you know, you hit these mountaintops, right? And then, like, all of a sudden you're in a valley, you know? And then you hit another mountaintop, and then you're in a valley again, right? Because we usually think that, you know, that's the part, right? But it's in the valley that you actually see. You know, it's in the wilderness. Yeah. The wilderness always shows you who you are.
That's real.
Right?
That's
so real. It's in the wilderness. In the mountaintop, like I said, everybody's like, woo,
this
is awesome. You know, can you woo-hoo in the valley? Can
you
woo-hoo in the wilderness
when
God's showing you? Because those moments always test or squeeze what you really are comes out, right?
Yeah.
When you go through those moments, that's what you actually see what you're made of.
That's cool.
Right? Yeah. Like you, that's, and not saying that you're not going to miss it. So I love how you said that, right? How you're like, because sometimes we feel like the Bible is just one big mountaintop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows all the valleys.
That's right. Right?
Yeah. Right?
That's
right. Like we even judge people like that.
Yeah.
Right? We talk to people like, you should always be like this.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Paul wanted to die.
Yep.
Like he's like, I want to die. Yeah. Like I don't even want to live. Then he's like, oh, you know, God's good. You know? But I feel like he put it there. And I love how you're very open now, right? Because at some point you didn't talk about it much.
Yeah.
And I love how the story keeps unfolding. And every tear you shed is another part of your soul healing.
Wow.
Right? So every time you get to talk about it, you know, it keeps moving forward, right? And so, hey, let me ask you a question. Final words, if you had to talk to somebody today that maybe is in a valley.
Yeah.
And they, maybe they haven't seen a mountaintop in a long time.
Mm.
What would you say to them? What would you say? What would you say?
Yeah.
And then pray for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
This one.
Got it. during the hurricane, my wife and I were in in Austin.
Yeah.
And we got away because my birthday was like the day of the hurricane. I was like, we're not doing that. And I hope everyone's okay.
Yeah.
There's hills in Austin, and we got to see this beautiful sunset. And on the bottom of the hill, I saw this beautiful sunset. And then at the top of the hill, I saw the same sunset. But it hit me that it was all about perspective. And that if I can keep my eyes on Jesus, it doesn't matter if I'm in a mountain or in the valley. As long as I see Jesus, I'm gonna be okay. And I want to invite you to see Jesus today. Look back over your life, and if you can look back and only see pain and heartbreak, you're not looking hard enough. I want to invite you to look back and realize that if you're still here today, that God got you through it, and what you went through doesn't define you. But let it be an invitation to know that God wants to use every part of your story for his glory. And just like we talked about today, where there are moments where my dad battled addiction. There are moments where I spent months in the hospital. I've also got to see God's faithfulness. And whether I'm in a valley or on the mountaintop, I get to see a different perspective of God's faithfulness. Don't be quick to label your season as bad. Because the scripture says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. Mm. And I believe that if you have a pulse, there's a plan for your life, and that God has purpose for your life, and that everything that you've ever walked through, God's going to get glory out of it, and you're going to receive blessing from it, because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's not done with you. So if you haven't seen a mountain in a long time, I want to encourage you to look for Jesus right where you are, because what you look for, you're going to find. If you look for pain, you're going to find pain. You look for Jesus, you're going to find Jesus. And my prayer for you today is that you find him. As scripture says, if we knock, door be open. We seek, we'll find him. And that your heart would seek after the voice of God, the will of God, the peace of God, the strength of God, and that you would be overtaken by his love, that God would fill you with perspective, that you look back over your life and not just see damage, but you'd see God's hand, and that God would give you eyes to see and ears to hear what he's doing, what he's speaking. My prayer is that you'd experience peace today, that changes everything, and that you'd be inspired to take another breath, and that you'd live your life on purpose, that you would surround yourself with people that love the Lord and that love you and that champion you to see a better day. I pray for your future. I pray for your family. I pray that you would truly receive God today in a different way, in a real way, and that you'd understand that he wants to meet you in your struggle. You'd understand that he wants to meet you in your disappointment. And the scripture says that he trades us beauty for ashes. The things that you thought were hopeless, I pray that you find hope today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You dropped a bomb.
Super powerful.
That's just beautiful, right? Like, I don't know, Jesus is beautiful. And when someone's carrying that, you had me like in tears, just praying. You know, like, I'm like, I got saved again. I'm like, oh Lord, the prayer is so beautiful. And it's the Jesus in you, man, that radiates, man. Right? You're salty. So, you know, I always tell people, look, man, when people are salty, you want to drink, you know? So it's like, man, you make a brother want to not ever complain, right? You make a brother not ever want to complain, because it's like, all right, shut up. You know, you're like you still, you know, I don't know. It's kind of cool. I love it.
Love you, bro.
So, you know, I want to thank all our sponsors, and we want to thank ISI for being an incredible sponsor, right?
Thank you so much for partnering with us. Thank you for making it possible for us to have this show reach the people that we're reaching and just go into the prison walls, even though we may not be physically there. Mm. You guys make it possible. So thank you.
And you know what? We're going to be in these prisons, so get ready. Don't forget the Forgotten Prison Crusade. I think we're going to try to do another tour. Maybe you can jump on at some point. You know, that'll be dope. And we're going to be in Edinburgh, Texas, August 19th. August 21st, we're going to be in Jester, Carol Vance. We're going to be at Tennessee Colony, Clemens Unit, August 22nd, Stringfellow Unit, Terrell Unit, Ramsey Unit. And I know a lot of y'all have been writing to like, come to our prison.
Yeah.
I promise you that we're going to do something about that. So just trying to figure out the timing and when we're going to do it. But I promise you that we will have, if it takes us 2 weeks to kind of hit most of the ones that have been writing, we're gonna do that, right? With the grace of God. We have partners and sponsors.
Talk to your chaplains.
Yeah, talk to your chaplains. Tell them to call us. Yeah. But we are getting already a lot of people that are like, hey, come. I'm like, I just can't show up and be like, yo, I'm here.
Come in.
So we will be calling and doing all that. And so thank you so much for tuning in to This Is Real. Real people, real problems, real solutions. I hope you were blessed with today's show.
And that's a wrap. Thank you, This Is Real family, for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas, 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.